Hola, friends! The biggest pop culture convention in this border region is back. And yes, we're talking about Comic-Con. A few years ago, Port of Entry sound designer Adrián Villalobos...
Hola!
...and I headed to the San Diego Convention Center to meet some Comic-Con fans from Tijuana who cross the border every year to be part of this event.
It was so much fun, dude. They shared their best tips for navigating Comic-Con, their favorite memories, and why they keep coming back. Because for many fans, Comic-Con isn't just a convention. It's a yearly tradition that brings people across the border.
And now that the region is once again buzzing with comics, cosplay, and pop culture, we thought it was the perfect time to revisit this episode, Cross-Border Comic-Conners.
Whether you're heading to Comic-Con this year or just want to experience a convention through the voices of devoted fans, we hope you enjoy this episode.
Nos vemos pronto! Every summer, one four-day weekend transforms the heart of downtown San Diego into the mecca for pop culture and pop culture devotees. Fans in cosplay, exclusive panels, themed pop-ups. It's a celebration unlike any other. And this year, we were right in the middle of it all. If you were thinking about Comic-Con, you guessed it right. Our usual behind-the-mic operator, Adrián Villalobos, got to join me at the field for one of the days to see this firsthand. Right, sound designer Adrián? My good friend?
Yeah, for that Thursday.
And how was it?
Oh man, we talked to fans who crossed the border from Tijuana just to be part of this magic every year. They shared genius tips, crazy experiences, and the best hacks to survive Comic-Con like a pro.
From rooftop pizzas to anxiety-inducing elevators. Let's just say Adrián and I had our own adventures.
Oh yeah, it was definitely a ride.
Yeah.
Con permiso, that's my line.
And remember the s'mores ice cream, Adrián? Dude, that was crazy. And then you went down on Rick and Morty's slide. That was sick, dude.
Yeah, I was about to say that. That was freaking amazing.
Yeah, guys, that sounds really cool and all, but can we go on with the episode? And why is Adrián saying all my lines?
Oh.
I'm co-hosting today. You didn't get the memo?
Qué pinche memo.
Hey, Ellen, I forgot you work here. Oh, I forgot you were here. Sorry, misspoke here. Yeah, sorry. Adrián joined me on the first day of Comic-Con.
Sorry for reading your lines, dude. I got excited because Comic-Con with Nat was lots of fun.
Yeah.
Plus, Nat said it was okay since you mentioned you were too busy putting your concert together.
Yeah, don't worry, Alan. I will tell you all about our adventure. And you can still help narrate the facts about Comic-Con. And you can translate the sound bites. Yeah, you can do that.
Yeah, no, I don't want your pity work. I've been busy putting on the most interesting and eclectic concert together called Welcome to Las Californias, a binational music festival. But I won't drop the ball with Port of Entry duties, so if you really need, I'd be happy to help narrate some facts and translate the sound bites. And I mean, of course, I get it. You worked on this together without me since you two are huge nerds.
Don't say it, don't you dare.
Nerds.
Chicos. First, Adrián, what are you doing at the mic? We need you operating the booth because I have no idea what does what, so please, get back here. And two, nerds!
The streets of downtown San Diego come alive every year with passionate fans gathering to celebrate the magic of pop culture on a very particular and unforgettable weekend.
If you dare to drive or walk through San Diego's Gaslamp District during that weekend, you can sense the excitement and anticipation of thousands of people, all eager to experience this global phenomenon to the fullest.
But first, some history.
The first Comic-Con took place in 1970, when a small group of comics and movie fans from San Diego planned an event attended by only 300 people at El Cortez Hotel in downtown San Diego. In 1979, the event moved to the Convention and Performing Arts Center.
And it wasn't until 1991 when Comic-Con finally arrived at the San Diego Convention Center to stay.
Since then, the convention has grown incredibly and is widely recognized as the number one popular arts convention in the world, celebrating all aspects of pop culture, from comics and graphic novels to movies, TV shows, and video games.
And it's been hosting over 130,000 people in recent years, according to the official website.
Comic-Con is definitely the most anticipated event of the year for many San Diegans.
But also for a lot of Tijuanenses.
In this bonus episode, we delve into the inner world of this iconic convention.
From the perspective of a few of its most diehard pop culture fans from Tijuana, who, like me, have also been crossing the border for years to experience the universe that is Comic-Con.
From KPBS, this is Port of Entry,
where we tell cross-border stories that connect us.
I'm Alan Lilienthal.
And I'm Natalie Gonzalez. And this is a bonus episode.
You are listening to Port of Entry.
Full confession, not happy to admit it, but I've never actually been inside to Comic-Con. I've been to some of the parties outside.
What do you mean?
I'm sorry. I don't know. For some reason, I'm always out of town or...
What do you mean? You've been living in San Diego your whole life.
And I believe in Santa Claus. I don't know.
Well, let me tell you all about it.
My bridges.
The first time I went to Comic-Con was in 2008, and it wasn't what it is today. Back then, you could get tickets a day before, and now it is a real challenge to even get them a year in advance.
Oh, dang. Tanto así?
Yeah, I remember going with my cousin on a Sunday, I think, and we got the tickets the Friday before. Nowadays, I can hardly get into the convention because of how popular the event has become. I actually skipped a couple of years until 2012, when I made it an every year thing.
Wow, every single year. So it's a 4-day thing, you said, right?
Yes. Well, now it is. The first Comic-Con was held in March 1970 as a one-day event called San Diego's Golden State Comic, Minicon.
So did you stay in San Diego during that time? It sounds kind of exhausting to commute back and forth from San Diego to Tijuana every single day and then return the next day really early, especially if you're spending the entire day walking around the convention center.
Nah, I wish I stayed in San Diego. By the way, KPBS hooked me up for next year. Anyways, yeah, it is exhausting, but no, I would take the trolley back to TJ for all 4 days and then be at the port of entry by 5:30 a.m. the next day.
And you're obviously not the only Tijuanense doing that every year, I assume.
Exactly. And that's what I love about Comic-Con. It's not just a San Diego event, but a cross-border experience that many in Tijuana have made it part of their yearly ritual, and some of which I got to talk to.
Dang, that's really what I want Welcome to Las Californias to become. A yearly ritual for cross-border people where they don't consider it a Tijuana or a San Diego event, but really a cross-border experience.
Yeah, that sounds so cool. Are you done with your Welcome to Las Californias TED Talk?
No, everybody come to the festival. I'll see you there. All right, I'm done.
Great. Let's move on. I remember that every year I would notice more and more people from Tijuana who would cross at the crack of dawn and board the trolley specifically to make it to the San Diego Convention Center.
How did you know they were going to Comic-Con? Did your nerd radar go off? Did you feel that nerd energy connecting you to...
No. Their Comic-Con book-like attire was a giveaway, obviously. That and the Comic-Con pass hanging from their neck.
pues así sí.
So I thought it would be cool this year to take my recording gear to the San Isidro port of entry and chat with some Comic-Con folks who were waiting in line.
That sounds cool. What do they say to you?
Let me tell you all about it.
My bridges.
La neta es muy, muy pesado. Realmente creo que ya para el domingo me termino devastado, muy cansado, no tanto por Comic-Con, sí es un gran factor, pero más que nada por las cruzadas, sí.
This is Dionisio Saldaña. He is a Tijuana-based volunteer that's been helping a Comic-Con for over 10 years. He was wearing a red Daredevil shirt and a Hall H exclusive Marvels hat from the Multiverse Saga.
What in the world is Hall H, and why did he get an exclusive hat?
I'll tell you all about it later.
My precious.
All right, we're done with the Golem.
Okay, yeah, that was too much. I'm sorry. Anyway, Dionisio says the most exhausting part is not the walking around in the convention itself, but getting up early to cross the border to get to the convention and getting back to Tijuana.
Levantarnos a las 5 de la mañana para estar a lo más tardar a las 6 de la mañana en la fila para hacer un promedio de hora a hora y media en el cruce. Dependiendo del día puede variar. Hay veces que cruzas en 20 minutos, hay veces que cruzas hasta hora, hora y media.
That is Miguel Echeverria. He was carrying a backpack decorated with limited edition pins from cartoons and TV shows.
Miguel recommends waking up at 5 a.m. during Comic-Con day so you can be in line to cross into the U.S. by 6 a.m. He says it typically takes about an hour to an hour and a half to get through. If it's your lucky day and the stars align, 20 minutes.
I also met Janet Gomez. She is a cosplayer. I asked her what's the experience crossing the border as a cosplayer.
Pues mira, normalmente cuando traigo peluca es lo único que no me pongo por cuestiones de que no me vayan a poder identificar, pues por lo de...
She mentioned she puts almost all of her outfit together with the exception of anything that might make it difficult to identify her.
This way, she says, she avoids any issues with the customs and border patrol officers for covering her face.
Once on the other side and on the trolley, she finishes her costume. Makeup, wig, and colored contact lenses.
The trolley becomes her touch-up room, and she's ready to go as soon as she arrives at the convention center.
After talking to these folks, I crossed the border and boarded the trolley to Palomar Station, where our song guy Adrian would pick me up.
I think you can... Creo que te puedes meter aquí al parking lot y I can find you.
Yep, I'm here in the parking lot.
I'm walking. Oh, cool. Wait, what's your car? I don't think I've ever seen your car.
It's a black Honda with like tinted windows.
I think.
Oh, there you are. Perfect. You. Wow, that worked out. Cool.
Adrian, are you ready for the adventure?
Yeah, let's do it.
Woo!
Hey!
Hey!
Sure, sure.
Thanks. I had to dress up a little bit.
Our next mission was to find parking not so far from the convention center. You see, parking near the convention center during Comic-Con is either impossible or extremely expensive.
Natalie, I don't know about you, but I'm definitely not going to pay $30 to $60 for parking.
Adrian mentioned that he knew a spot to park not so far away from the convention. Well, it turns out it was a 30-minute walk from the convention center under the July sun. Thanks for the 10, Adrian. That was horrible.
It wasn't that bad. You're exaggerating. We're pretty fast walkers.
Actually, it was like 15 minutes. I'm just exaggerating. Anyways, we wanted to take a look around the convention center during the first day, which is Thursday. And I also wanted to meet Erika Garcia, a film producer from Tijuana, whose unique take on Comic-Con illustrates why it can be a meaningful experience for people south of the border.
Pero lo que es sábado y domingo, sí o sí voy a estar ahí. Mis amigos van a estar ahí toda la semana desde el miércoles. Y ellos van a estar, de hecho, haciendo fila para Hall H desde el jueves para entrar el viernes, que son los de House of the Dragon y The Boys y Lord of the Rings. Y creo que Marvel es...
I connected with Erika through a mutual friend. It turns out that Erika has a group of friends from Tijuana who make it a thing to go to Comic-Con every year. They use a WhatsApp group filled with TJ Comic-Coners to organize and stay communicated once inside of the convention, ensuring they stay informed about everything that's happening. I was so excited to finally meet her, but on Friday, the day we were supposed to meet, I received this message.
Hola, ¿cómo estás? Oye, te mando un mensajito porque... Me cuesta mucho decir esto, pero no voy a poder ir a Comic-Con este fin de semana porque me enfermé. Me hice una prueba de antígenos y salí positiva a COVID. Entonces no.
Unfortunately, Erika was feeling sick and tested positive for COVID, which meant she didn't know if she'd be able to make it to Comic-Con. But if for a miracle she could make it, they would see each other on Saturday or Sunday.
And believe me, having a pass for Comic-Con and not being able to go is just like telling a five-year-old, "Oh, sorry, honey, I know you already packed your bag, but the trip to Disneyland is canceled."
Yeah, I'm sure it's the exact same emotion. That sucks, but did you have a plan B?
You bet I did. Well, Erika did. Not me.
No sé si ya pudiste tener contacto con Jorge, pero él va a estar ahí ya. Y me parece se va a quedar a dormir hoy para Hall H mañana, pero se van a estar rotando y así, pero...
To make up for the interview, Erika shared with me the contact of Jorge Cárdenas, one of her best friends with whom she usually goes to the convention. Jorge also works in the film world in Tijuana. And besides being a loyal attendee of Comic-Con every year, he is one of the thousands of brave and, dare I say, slightly out of their minds, individuals who spends the night out in the cold to secure a spot inside the super hyper mega privileged Hall H.
Hello, San Diego Comic-Con!
Christopher Kit Harington.
I am Loki,
of Asgard.
All right, now I really need to know, what the heck is Hall H?
Okay, Alan. Imagine thousands of fans spending hours and even sleeping outside the convention center without properly bathing and eating.
Okay.
Humans who are willing to endure breathing in a mix of different odors, from pretzels and nachos to nasty body odor. All for a chance to be one of the first humans to get a sneak peek of all the upcoming releases that franchises like Marvel have. That is what happens in Hall H.
That sounds fun. I mean, horrible. But I do salute the commitment. I mean, for someone who's not a diehard fan of pop culture or body odor, I imagine it must be a special and unique experience for everyone who mentally prepares each year to get inside that room. I would maybe do it for a chance to see the Beatles.
Anyways, while some might see it as something so trivial, for diehard fans, the Comic-Con experience wouldn't be complete without Hall H.
It actually sounds pretty cool if you're with good friends. Like, it's like going camping, but at the end of it, you get to see some cool shit that no one has seen before.
Among those looking for a Hall H pass was Jorge and his friends from Tijuana. Just like previous years, they were committed to get in.
¿Qué onda, Natalie? No, no te preocupes. Todavía aquí andamos en el Comic-Con. Mañana abren las puertas para nosotros a las 9 de la mañana. Igual avísame cuando estés como por aquí.
He told me he was going to spend Friday night outside in line for Hall H, so we agreed to meet on Saturday morning. But I knew that once Jorge got into Hall H, it would be very difficult for us to meet up and chat.
Why is that, Matt?
Well, because Hall H is where most people who go to Comic-Con want to be. And once inside, you want to catch a good seat and not miss anything that's going to happen. So yeah, Jorge was going to be in the middle of all that. But he assured me that once he gets the powerful Hall H wristband, it's all much more relaxed and you can go in and out as you please. At the risk of losing your seats inside, of course.
So wait, once you're inside Hall H, you can go out and come back in as many times as you like?
Yes, because they give you the powerful Hall H wristband pass. Anyways, I was hoping to catch Jorge outside of Hall H. And right now I'm getting a little anxious because it's super crowded. Oh, this is great. But you can feel like there's like a great feeling in the air. No, let's just wait for Jorge. I don't even know how he looks. This is the first time I met him. But once again, the universe was not conspiring in my favor. Despite our attempts to meet, the panel's schedules and my tight agenda didn't help. Like with Erika, I couldn't meet Jorge that day.
Lol. Is this a story of you just wandering around the convention center failing to interview your subjects? Why didn't you just interview him while he was in line?
Ugh. Of course I thought about that, Alan, but it's not that easy. There are a bunch of fancy guidelines to get inside Hall H, and Adrian made things slow. Long story short, that was not possible.
Wait, I wasn't even with you that day.
Long story short, I said, that was not possible. I reached a moment of despair and decided to return on Sunday to see if I could finally get more material for this episode. And Sunday was my day.
A Comic-Con miracle.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. What was the miracle?
Pues yo tengo mis abuelos.
Erika came through.
Divine intervention.
Turns out Erika was feeling a bit better, so she tested for COVID again and came out negative. So she made it to the last day of the convention.
Creo que para mí lo más como chido, divertido de Comic-Con, a pesar de que estás sobreestimulado todo el tiempo y hay muchas cosas que te gustan, porque es como no hay manera de poner la atención a una sola cosa, es enorme.
She mentions that although there are countless distractions all around, making it challenging to concentrate on just one thing, the overall energy is very pleasant.
Es como esta conexión que haces con las personas, como conocer y convivir. A lo mejor no lo vuelves a ver en tu vida, pero...
We walked around for a bit around the convention center as she shared how cool it is to share the space with like-minded people, fellow geeks, she says.
Those connections, according to Erika, are the most enjoyable aspect of Comic-Con, what she looks forward to every year, the new friendships.
Pero siento que como que la energía que rodea el evento es como, es muy chida, es muy amena, porque toda la gente es igual de geek que tú, es como, es igual de, no sé, aquí no hay raritos, los raritos son los que no vienen.
We eventually found a corner on the second floor and sat down, where she mentioned something funny about Comic-Con enthusiasts. It's true that they are seen as geeks or weirdos, she says. But for her, the true weirdos are the people who don't make it to the convention.
Did Erica have any advice for Comic-Con?
Yes, divide and conquer!
Entonces, como básicamente funciona para nosotros, yo podría decir que es si alguien como, ay, alguien está cerca de tal área, me avisa si puede hacer fila o que no sé qué. Es como, básicamente es como el notice board. Como, están haciendo esto.
The divide and conquer approach involves splitting up to cover more ground and staying connected to share updates on what's going on where each of them is at.
Y vamos a ir por este lugar a comer, ok, yo le caigo. Entonces, como que es muy de, yo estoy aquí, yo estoy acá, dividir y conquistar. O sea, siento que Comic-Con con tus compas es dividir y conquistar. Porque es tan grande que no puedes recorrerlo solo, entonces...
Okay, so let me see if I get this right. Let's say Erika is standing in line for a panel, and suddenly, I don't know, Pedro Pascal appears out of nowhere and starts giving away autographed t-shirts.
Mm-hmm, yep.
So she alerts the group so her friends, if they're nearby, can come to the spot to get their shirt autographed by Pedro?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, cool. And her hack for Hall H?
Well...
Entonces, por ejemplo, con Hall H lo que hacen es de que uno se forma y ya, guarda el spot. Entonces, para cuando llega...
She says that to secure a spot in the privileged Hall H, each of her friends takes turns in line while others are exploring the convention. When the time comes where the wristbands will be handed out...
They alert the group through text so that everyone comes back in line to get one.
Qué loco, and the people behind them in line don't get mad that suddenly a bunch of 10 people just joined the line?
No, because they started the line as a group and people already know that that group were in line and everyone does that, like they just keep alternating and going.
God, it's a whole culture. What I don't understand is if you already have a wristband, why do some people stay overnight?
Ah, it's because securing your all-powerful Hall H wristband is the first part of the whole ordeal. If you want to get seats right in the front, then you have to consider spending the night in line.
So there's a line for the passes and a line for the seats. No manches. Do most of these people get to see anything if they're waiting to get seats?
Claro, we. That's why they do it overnight.
Okay.
And remember how I said Sunday was my day?
Sí, a ver, let's see.
Well, I finally got to meet Jorge and all of Erika's friends as well, just a few hours before the convention was over. I felt really bad for taking up Jorge's time because there was only 1 hour left to explore the aisles of the exhibit hall, and he seemed desperate to go explore it with his friends.
What's the exhibit hall? How many halls are there? Is there a dining hall?
It's not Hogwarts. So the exhibit hall is a very large room where you can find props from famous movies and television shows and exclusive merchandise for sale, as well as hundreds, if not thousands, of comic books. There is a bunch of stuff going on all at once. And you get a lot of free stuff there as well. But anyway, I wanted to let Jorge go, so I just asked him how his experience in Hall H was.
Pues sí, principalmente, bueno, yo principalmente acampé 2 días seguidos. Jueves para viernes y viernes para sábado.
Jorge camped for 2 days outside the convention center to make it to Hall H. He braved the cold on Thursday to secure a spot for Friday's panels and continued to camp on Friday to ensure a good position for Saturday's panels. Where do they sleep or eat? When do they go to the bathroom?
Well, it's just like camping outdoors. They bring light gear and snacks, obviously, and they have a public bathroom nearby.
And they just trek this stuff around all day like they're hiking through the mountains?
Well, obviously it has to be light gear. I mean, they're not bringing a bed.
And the bathroom, they just hold it?
No, they just walk to the public bathroom nearby. Or maybe
diapers.
Diapers.
Branded Marvel diapers.
I'm kidding about the diapers.
That's what I would do.
He was present during the most acclaimed moment of the Marvel panel, which captured headlines across all media outlets.
We give you the one person who could play Victor Von Doom.
New mask.
same task.
The moment they announced that Robert Downey Jr. was going to play Doctor Doom. And the news wasn't that well received by Jorge.
Y el viernes, pues lo único que esperábamos todos era el panel de Marvel. En lo personal lo sentí un poco decepcionante a diferencia de otros años.
He said he felt disappointed that Robert Downey Jr. was coming back as Doctor Doom after his Iron Man exit, and that they made many announcements that fans already knew or that were rumored.
Even if he was disappointed, I'm sure it must have been shocking to be there and see the gorgeous face of Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah, I guess Robert Downey Jr. is gorgeous. Whatever. Anyway, I asked him what lessons or experiences he has gained while waiting in line for Hall H.
¿Y qué más? Pues está padre porque prácticamente conoces a gente igual con tus mismos gustos, ¿no? Y tienes la confianza de estar con ellos como si ya los conocieras de años, cuando los acabas de conocer hace unas horas. Y sí, pues...
The great part, according to Jorge, is that you get to bond with strangers over the same interests and feel as if you've known them for years, even though you've only known them for a few hours.
And those new friends are key to helping each other, like when it comes to get the best seats.
Procuramos agarrar los mejores asientos entre todos. Los que llegan primero apartan con lo que tienen, bolsas, mochilas, sleeping bags, lo que tengas a la mano. Y pues sí, ya cuando agarramos asientos...
It's a team effort. Jorge says that once they're inside the room, they save spots with backpacks for when the rest of the group that already has wristbands arrives, so they can have a good seat.
Unos dicen, no, pues, ¿dónde estás? No, pues, manda foto, a ver cuál vista es mejor. Entonces, ya estamos ahí entre allá, acá, véanse, tenemos más asientos. O somos tantos acá, estamos apartando más lugares para quien se le ofrezca. Y, pues, sí, hacemos muchas mexicanadas.
Then they spread out around the room to see if they can find an even better view, message the group, and decide where to sit, he adds. All part of their mexicanadas, he added jokingly.
Mexican tricks, pretty much.
Before leaving, Erika shared what Comic-Con means to her.
Bueno, para mí Comic-Con creo que es este espacio libre y como seguro, ¿no? Como bromeaba hace rato, ¿no? Como aquí no hay raritos, los raritos son de afuera.
Erika says that Comic-Con is a free and safe space to be a fan of something to any extent you want, and at the same time, discover new things and make new friendships and relationships.
Pero también está muy chido porque, bueno, yo que la paso, la mayor parte del tiempo la paso sola, yo estoy conectada con esa gente. Entonces, a mí me pasa también cuando voy a un concierto y llego a ir a un concierto sola, yo estoy conectada con esa gente porque estoy disfrutando de lo mismo y siento que eso es muy poderoso.
Although she spends most of the time at the convention alone, she says she feels connected to all the people around her.
She mentions that it's like when you go to a concert where you don't know anyone, but yet you're connected with all those people because you're enjoying the same moment.
That collective energy, the sense of being part of something bigger than herself, is what she finds truly powerful. It's a reminder that fandom isn't just about the shows or characters. It's more about the community they inspire.
Port of Entry will be back after a short break. You are listening to Port of Entry.
Like Erika and Jorge, hundreds of Comic-Con fans have found that Comic-Con isn't just a convention, it's an experience. Think about it. What started back in 1970 as a small gathering of 300 fans has exploded into this global event that draws over 130,000 people every year.
Yeah, it's wild to imagine how far it's come. From the El Cortez Hotel to the massive San Diego Convention Center, it's grown into the place to celebrate everything pop culture. Movies, TV shows, video games, comics, you name it.
And what makes it so special isn't just the big panels or the exclusive merch. It's the energy, the fans, and that feeling of being part of something so much bigger than yourself.
Totally. Whether you're in cosplay, hunting down collectibles, or just there for the vibes, Comic-Con has this way of bringing people together. It's not just about what you see or do, it's about who you share it with.
I thought we agreed to mute him.
Exactly, Adrian. And after Comic-Con weekend, we can officially say Comic-Con never disappoints.
Until next year, Comic-Con, we'll be counting down the days.
This episode of Port of Entry was written and produced by Natalie Gonzalez.
Adrián Villalobos is technical producer, sound designer.
This episode was edited by Melissa Sandoval Restrepo and Julio Cesar Ortiz Franco.
Lisa Morissette is Director of Audio Programming and Operations.
This program is made possible in part by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, a private corporation funded by the American people.
This project was also made possible with support from California Humanities, a nonprofit partner of the National Endowment for the Humanities. Visit calhom.org.
I'm Alan Lilienthal.
And I'm Natalie Gonzalez.
Nos vemos pronto.